Now, what were the challenges that had to be overcome during this exercise? Working out whether human beings are lying is notoriously difficult because you have to capture each and every movement, you have to capture each and every voice tone, you have to capture everything with respect to the human body. Despite having existed since the early 20th century in some form, no lie detector has ever been shown to be 100% reliable, and courts have never accepted that they are accurate enough for their findings to be presented as evidence in the US or Europe. Avatar aims to overcome this thoroughly, a process similar to the predictive modeling technique used in many big data projects. As it examines more people, it learns more about the facial, vocal, and contextual indicators likely to be present when a person is being dishonest. While the traditional lie detector relies on human interpreter to match these signals to what they feel, based on their experience and the limited amount of reference that they have access to. By interviewing the millions of people every year, Avatar should build up a far more reliable set of reference data which could use to flag up suspicious travelers. The key learnings and takeaways from this project were: level of migration both in and out of US are constantly increasing, and systems like Avatar can relieve the manpower burden required to carry out essential safety screening on travelers. Machines have the capability to detect whether humans are lying or acting deceptively far more accurately than people themselves can if they are given the right data and algorithms. Human Respect Authority lab test on the Avatar system found that interviewees were more likely to answer truthfully when Avatar was given a serious authoritative tone and face than when programmed to speak and appear friendly and informal. It will always be possible for human to cheat the system by effectively adopting deceptive strategies. However, the chances of being able to do so successfully will reduce the technology like Avatar becomes more efficient and widely deployed. With this case study, we understood that if different physical attributes of a human being are analyzed, still there are various things which can be analyzed. Now, here we were talking about the physical attributes, which includes the voice data, the textual, the face information, the body information, and all those things. So you need to have deeper algorithms which can fetch out such form of data and can analyze such type of information. Here the concept of deep learning comes into the picture, which can get into the data and can give you more appropriate results. So here, under such concepts, deep learning like neural networks and other similar algorithms are used to solve such cases. Now we will be talking about another case study which is related to Zynga. If you know, Zynga is a global sporting or gaming company which develops online games. Zynga has leveraged data to provide gamers or bored office workers with novel compulsive distractions and, of course, to make money. Zynga's games and hundreds of others that walk on the same principle, for example, the hugely popular Candy Crush Saga, uses a business model which has become known as freemium. Players do not have to hand over cash upfront to play them, although they often charge small amounts, microtransactions, for enhancements that will give them an advantage over other players or make their game more fun. For example, in Farmville, which simulates running a farm, you can buy extra livestock for your virtual agriculture enterprise. Arrangements are also in place with a range of partners, ranging from credit card companies to an demand movie service, allowing players to earn credit to spend in game by taking up their offers. This ties into Zynga's second revenue stream, advertising. While playing, you will be periodically see adverts, just like while watching TV or reading a magazine. Here, the data that they pull from Facebook is used to offer marketers a precise demographic target for their segmented online campaigns. Big data also plays a part in designing the games. Zynga's smartest big data insight was to realize the importance of giving their users what they wanted. And to this end, they monitored and recorded how their games were being played, using the data gained to tweak gameplay according to what was working well. For example, animals, which played mostly a background role in early version, were made a more prominent part of later games when the data revealed how popular were they with the gamers. In short, Zynga uses data to understand what gamers like and don't like about their games. Game developers are more aware than ever of huge amount of data that can be gained when every joystick twitch can be analyzed to provide feedback on how gamers play games and what they enjoy. Once a game has been released, the feedback can be analyzed to find out if, for example, players are getting frustrated at a certain point, and a live updates can be deployed to make it slightly easier. The idea is to provide the players with a challenge that remains entertaining without becoming annoying. Their ultimate aim is to always get players gaming for as long as possible, either to feel they are getting value for money if it was game they paid for, or so that they can be served plenty of ads if it is free game. Zynga make their data available to all employees so they can see what has proved popular in games. So even Farmville product managers can see the poker data and see how many people have done a particular game action, for example. This transparency helps foster a data-driven culture and entertain data experimentation across the company. Indeed, Yuko Yamazaki, head of analytics at Zynga, tells that the company are currently running over 1,000 experiments on live products at the time of writing, continually testing features and personalizing game behavior for their players. Zynga's analytics team also do data hackathons using their data and use cases, and they host many analytics and data meetups on site. All this helps encourage innovation and strengthen the data-driven culture in the company. Elsewhere in the gaming industry, it has even been suggested that the Microsoft's $2.5 billion acquisition of Minecraft last year was because of the game's integrated data mining capabilities, which Microsoft could use in other products. Minecraft, the extremely popular world building game, is based around a huge database containing thousands of individual items and objects that make up every world. By playing the game, the player is essentially manipulating the data T50 create their desired outcome in the game. Minecraft, in Microsoft's opinion, provide an ideal introduction for children to principles of structuring and manipulating digital data to build a model that relates in some way to the real world. Zynga measures success on two factors: internal adoption of systems and external player retention. Looking at the internal metrics first, Zynga have 2,000 employees, all of whom have access to company's data visualization tool. At least 1,000 employees are using the tool on daily basis, demonstrating that company have a really strong culture of data-based decision making. Externally, users numbers are around 20 to 25 million active users daily, which long way from their peak of 72 million active daily users in 2012. A number of factors are at play in the decline, including the end of Zynga's special relationship with Facebook in 2012 and their historical focus on browser-based games as opposed to mobile games now. But in 2014, Zynga acquired mobile specialist Natural Motions, perhaps signaling a change of focus for the future. Now, what were the results of all this? Compared to web gaming, Yamazaki explained that mobile gaming has its own challenges, such as anonymous play activities, more genres of game and more concentrated session activities. Particularly in mobile game, session length can be more important than the number of users, and longer sessions mean greater opportunity for Zynga. This is because in mobile sessions, players are usually paying attention the whole time during the session, whereas in browser based sessions, they must have the page open on inactive tab. So though the number of daily active users is down, a stronger focus on mobile games will provide Zynga with the potential for greater reach and higher revenue. What data was used by Zynga? Zynga captures structured data on everything that happens in their game. Almost every single play is tracked, amounting to around 30 to 50 billion rows of data a day. When this case study was discussed, Zynga was in the process of replacing their MemSQL database technology with MySQL SSD running on Amazon Web Service. Their Vertica data warehouse is the world's largest to run on Amazon. In terms of future developments, The company are exploring real-time analytics and cloud analytics. Zynga have also started investing more in machine learning, and in addition to this technology mentioned above, they now have Hadoop MapReduce environment for advanced machine learning capabilities focused on predicting look-alike social graphs and clustering analytics. Zynga's marketing and sometimes intrusive presence on social media screens has certainly come in for criticism, and it's fair to say that company's fortunes have declined in recent years, partly because of the ending of their partnership with Facebook, and partly because the tech world, there always something new, shiny, and often also free popping up to draw users elsewhere. The challenge for Zynga is more where to go from here, and although rising mobile users have numbers and new game launches offer some bright ray of hopes, Zynga serve as a good example of business built of innovative use of data from the ground up and heralded the arrival of big data as a force for changing in the gaming industry. Their culture of data-based decision making is admirable, something a lot of companies can learn from, and will hopefully stand then in good stead for the challenges ahead. Their key learning points and takeaways are, as Yamazaki says, social gaming continues to evolve from the way players play games to what features are available on devices. Zynga has a killer infrastructure and insane data collection, holding records on billions of installs since its company launch. Big data has always been Zynga's secret sauce to launch it ahead of the competition, and will be key to Zynga's continued leadership in the space. With this, we understood that gaming industry can really leverage out the analytical concept, and you would have realized the number of games that you see on Android or iOS platform are mostly driven by AI these days. They don't have a static background. They don't have a static functioning. They don't have a static play arounds. Whenever you play the game, it will always play, you will always be playing with computer in different ways. So it's not static. There are harder chances that you will get bored with those because scenarios are changing. And all these are made with the power of artificial intelligence introduced to the gaming industry. Now let's talk about another case study, which is related to world's biggest cab service known as Uber. How big data is at the center of Uber's transportation business? This is what we are going to discuss. To see the background, Uber is an smartphone app-based taxi booking service which connects users who need to get somewhere with driver is willing to give them a ride. The service has been hugely popular since being launched to serve San Francisco in 2009. The service has been expanded to many major cities on every continent except for Antarctica, and the company are now valued at $41 billion. The business are routed firmly in big data and leveraging this data in more effective way than traditional taxi firms has played a huge part in their success. Uber's entire business model is based on very big data principle of crowdsourcing. Anyone with car who is willing to help someone get to where they want to go can offer to help get them there. This gives greater choice for those who lives in areas where there is a little public transport, and helps to cut the number PF cars on busy street by pulling journey. Uber store and monitor data on every journey their user take and use it to determine demand, allocate resource, and set fares. The company also carry out in-depth analysis of public transport network in the cities they serve so that they can focus coverage in poorly served areas and provide links to buses and trains as well. This encourages more drivers to get behind the wheels when they are needed and stay at home when the demand is low. The company have applied for patent for this method of big data informed pricing, which they call surge pricing. This is an implementation of dynamic pricing similar to that used by hotel chains and airlines to adjust prices to meet demand, although rather than simply increasing price at weekends or during public holidays, it uses predictive modeling to estimate demand in real time. Data also drives the company's Uber Pool service, which allows users to find others near to them who, according to Uber's data, often make similar journeys at similar time so that they can share the ride according to Uber's flow. Introducing this service became a no-brainer when their data told them that vast majority of have look-alike trip that starts near and ends near and is happening around the same time as another trip. Other initiative either trailed or due to launch in future includes Uber Chopper, offering helicopter rides to wealthy, Uber Fresh grocery deliveries, and Uber Rush, a package courier service. Uber rely on detailed rating system. Users can rate drivers and vice versa to build up trust and allow both parties to make informed decisions about who they want to share a car with. Drivers in particular have to be very conscious of keeping their standard high, as failing below a certain threshold could result in their not being offered any work at all. They have another metric to worry about too, their acceptance rate. This is the number of jobs they accept versus those they decline. Drivers apparently have been told that they should aim to keep this above 80% in order to provide a consistently available service to passengers. Now, what was the result of all this? Data is at the very heart of everything Uber do, meaning that case is less about short-term results and more about long-term developments of data-driven business model. But it's fair to say that without their clever use of the data, the company would not have grown into the phenomena they are in right now. There is bigger picture benefits to all this data that goes ways beyond changing the way we book taxis or get ourselves to the office each day. Uber CEO Travis has claimed that the service will also cut the number of private owners operated automobiles on the road of the world's most congested cities. For instance, he hopes Uber Pool alone could help cut traffic on the streets of London by a third. Service like Uber could revolutionize the way we travel around our crowded cities. There are certainly environmental as well as economic reasons why this could be a good thing. What data was used for all these? The company uses a mixture of internal and external data. For example, Uber calculates fares automatically using GPS, traffic data, and the company's own algorithm, which makes adjustments based on the time the journey is likely to take. The company also analyzes external data such as public transport route to plan services. It has proven tricky to get any great detail on Uber's big data infrastructure, but it appears all the data is collected on Hadoop data lake, and they use Apache Spark and Hadoop to process the data. The challenges that had to be overcome by Uber. The company's algorithm-based approach to surge pricing has occasionally caused problems at busy times. A Forbes article noted how one 5-mile journey on New Year's Eve 2014 that would normally cost an average of less than $20 ended up costing $122. This was because of the number of drivers on the road and the extra time taken to complete the journey. Plenty of people would argue that simple economics, it's normal to pay more for the product or service in time of peak demand, but it hasn't stopped the company coming under fire for the pricing policies. There have been other controversies, most notably regular taxi drivers claiming it is destroying their livelihood and concerns over lack of regulations of the company's drivers. Uber's response to protests by taxi driver has been to attempt to co-opt them by adding new category of their fleet. Their Uber taxi service means you can be picked by a licensed taxi driver in registered private hire vehicle. It is fair to say that there are still some legal hurdles to overcome. The service is currently banned in handful of jurisdictions, including Brussels and the parts of India, and is receiving intense scrutiny in many other parts of the world. There have been several court cases in the US regarding the company's compliance with regulatory procedures, some of which have been dismissed and some are still ongoing. But given the popularity, there is a huge financial incentive for the company to press ahead and plan to transform private travel. The key learning and takeaways from this analysis were, Uber demonstrates how even your business model can be used on big data with understanding results. Uber are not alone in this realization. They have competitors offering similar services on smaller scale, such as Lyft, Sidecar, Haxi. Providing the regulation issues can be overcome, competition among these upstarts is likely to be very, very fierce. The most successful company is likely to be one that manages the best use of data available to them to improve the service they provide to the customers. By this, you understood that one of the biggest fleet manager, Uber, uses data to take the decision, to decide the pricing, to map the customers, and to connect different points from driver to the customer to the traveler. So basis all these things, they can take key decisions using the power of data and using the power of analytics. With another case study, we will be discussing about a retail case study wherein we are talking about Amazon, one of the biggest e-com retailer in the world. How predictive analytics are used in Amazon to get a 360 degree view of the consumer. Let's first have a background about the Amazon. Amazon long ago outgrew their original business model of an online bookshop. They are now one of the world's largest retailer of physical goods, virtual goods such as ebooks and streaming video, and more recently the web services. Much of this has been built on top of their pioneering use of recommendation engines technology systems designed to predict what we want and of course offer us chance to give them money for it. With this ethos in mind, Amazon have also moved into being the producer of goods and services rather than just the retailers, as well as commissioning the films and TV shows. They build and market electronics including tablets, TV boxes and streaming hardwares as well. How big data is helping them? Information overload is a very real problem and retailers have more to lose from it than most of us. Online retailing relies making as large number of products or services available as possible to increase the probability of making sales. Companies like Amazon and Walmart have thrived by adopting an everything under one roof supermarket model. The problem here is that a customer can often feel overwhelmed when presented with huge range of possible options, psychologically worries about suffering from buyer's remorse. Wasting money by making ill-informed purchasing decision can lead to outputting of spending money until we are certain we have done sufficient research. The confusing amount of options may even cause us to change our minds entirely about a fact we need a $2,000 Ultra HD television set and decide to go on vacation instead. It is the same problem that often plagues many projects involving large amount of information. Customers can become data rich with a great and many options, but insight poor with little idea about what would be the best purchasing decision to meet their need and desire. Essentially, Amazon have used big data gathered from customers while they browse the site to build and fine-tune their recommendation engine. Amazon probably did not invent the recommendation engine, but they introduced it to widespread public use. The theory is that the more they know about you, the more likely they are to be able to predict what you want to buy. Once they don't done that, they can streamline the process of persuading you to buy it by cutting out the need for you to search through their catalogs. Amazon gathered the data on every one of their over a quarter of billion customers while they use their services, as well as what you buy. They monitor what you look at, your shipping address to determine demographic data. They can take a good stab at guessing your income level by knowing what your neighborhood is and whether you leave the customer reviews and feedbacks. They also look at the time of the day you are browsing to determine your habitual behavior and match your data with others who follow similar patterns. If you use their streaming services such as Amazon Prime streaming video or ebook rental, they can also tell how much of your time is devoted to movies or books. All of this data is used to build up a 360 view of you as an individual customer. Based on this, Amazon can find other people who they think fit into the same consumer niche. Employed males between 18 to 45 living in a rented house with an income of $30,000 who enjoys foreign films, for example, will buy this particular thing. So they will find similar type of customers and can give them a recommendation of similar type of product that you have shopped. What were the results of this activity? Amazon have grown to become largest online retailer in US based on their customer focused approach to recommendation technology. Last year, they took it nearly $90 billion from the worldwide sales. Revenue for their cloud based web service business such as Amazon Web Service have grown by 81% in the last year to $1.8 billion. What were the technical details of all these? Amazon's core business is handled in their central warehouse, which consists of Hewlett Packard servers running Oracle on Linux to handle their 187 million unique monthly website visitors and over 2 million third-party Amazon Marketplace sellers. Now, what were the challenges that Amazon had to overcome? In early days, by far the biggest challenge for Amazon and all e-retailers was getting the public to put their faith in taking part in online commercial activity. These days, thanks to enhanced security and legislative pressure, and in spite of ever-increasing incidences of data theft, most of us are no more wary of giving our card details to an online retailer than we are to brick and mortar one. Amazon uses Netscape Secure Commerce Server systems and SSL to store sensitive information in an encrypted database. The key learnings for and key takeaways from this were: diversity of consumer choice is a great thing, but too much choice and too little guidance can confuse customers and put them off making purchasing decisions. Big data recommendation engines simply the task of predicting what a consumer wants by profiling them and looking at the purchase history of the people who fit into similar niche. The more the business knows about a customer, the better it can sell to them. Developing a 360 degree view of each customer as an individual is a foundation of big data driven marketing and customer service. Privacy and information security is an absolute priority. One large-scale data breach or theft can destroy consumer confidence in business overnight. We discussed six major case studies where power of big data actually turned around the businesses, actually helped them in making business decisions, and actually were the key drivers of how business will be performed. In next few years, we will see companies who ignore big data can be overtaken by those who don't. Any organization without a big data strategy and without plans in place to start using big data to improve performance will be left behind. It is impossible to predict big data, but one can see the term disappearing. Smart application of big data starts with your strategy in order to identify the areas in which data can make the biggest difference to perform and decision making. So it will always be better to start with the right strategy and identify the big challenges and areas in which the data will make the biggest difference. There is huge innovation in related fields such as Internet of the Things, machine learning and artificial intelligence. And there is no doubt that big data will give us many innovations and improvements, but it will also challenge us in the areas of data privacy and data protection. Hope you learned many things from the case study given and discussed. Keep learning. Thank you very much.